Hi there, and welcome to the WTF1 podcast. I'm your host, James Coker, along with my co-host, Ash Vandelay. We were about, I'd say, 5 to 10 minutes into recording this episode when Ash revealed to me that she was not recording audio.
This is my first time ever recording a podcast. I've never done this before.
That is not true. You record one every week with Elizabeth Blackstock.
So luckily we weren't done with the episode, and then realizing that I didn't record the audio, that would have sucked.
Also, I think you just recorded an episode with her like an hour ago. Like, so you should have been like,
yeah, but are you not paranoid technology? Maybe this is like the boomer in my millennial mind. Like once I'm done with this podcast, I like cover my camera lenses with whatever caps I have or whatever, turn off all my audio so they can't hear me, then also mute my microphone so like the government can't spot you. Like, are you not like this? Like everything gets covered, everything gets muted just so no one accidentally hears me like curse out someone at Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
I do that as well. I unplug my microphone on my computer. I cover my cameras. I cover my webcam with like a hat. And I have little like slidey things that I put on my phone cameras to cover those.
So Americans. Yeah. We just gotta be careful with all our stuff.
Also super paranoid. You know? Yes. We are now, are we recording this time, Ash?
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay, great. Here we go. First up, we're going to be talking all things Formula One as well as a number of other series. Lots of exciting stuff to get into in the world of motorsport. But first up, this is huge for people in the United States, for Formula One fans in the U.S. The Las Vegas Grand Prix is going to be a whole 2 hours earlier.
Okay, James, it's just this side of the globe. You can say the Americas because South America counts in this and Canada. When you say just United States fans, it makes us sound self-centered Americans.
Yeah, but that's what we are. I'll see. Can you see? That's my rendition of Fergie doing the national anthem.
Oh, incredible. But yeah, 2 hours earlier.
Anyway, Las Vegas Grand Prix is going to be a whole 2 hours earlier.
No one's contacting you. I can't wait either. It's just more convenient. That's 8 p.m. now local time. Yeah, 8 p.m. local time there in Vegas, which will be 11 p.m. on the East Coast. So it's a little bit more doable. I'll go to bed by the time the GP would have originally started. So that's nicer. And yeah, Europe can suck it. My apologies for being so brash, but you know, you can just deal with it. You have so many like beautiful races in your time zone that works out so well, and you don't have to wake up early for it, that I'm insanely jealous about. A couple of races, like Australia is probably a pain in the butt.
If you live in Australia or New Zealand, like that part of the world, like they're the ones that totally constantly get screwed with the Formula One calendar. They're constantly having to watch the race at like 2
I don't know if anyone's in Alaska, but if anyone's listening from Alaska, you too, you're not having a good time watching it either.
But also, like, just in where I live in Los Angeles, like I constantly have to wake up at 4 a.m. to watch a race. Like, you know, I have to wake up at 4 a.m. to watch a street circuit in Baku where there's only like 15 overtakes. So everyone in Europe, like, complaining about having to wake up early to watch this can kick rocks.
And just let us have it. Let us
have this. Also, it's truly going to be a Saturday night race for the Americas because before it was at 1 a.m. So it'd technically be a morning race for the East Coast. So it's truly going to be Saturday night racing. I'm so excited. Let's hire Hank Williams Jr. to sing a song, you know, Monday Night Football style. Like, are you ready for some vroom vrooms?
Some Carrie Underwood.
Party! Yeah.
For those who don't know, Carrie Underwood sings, she sings Monday Night Football, right? Or is that Sunday? She sings Sunday Night Football. Fall Out Boy sings the Monday Night Football. Sorry, I got to keep all my artists straight. But she gets $1 million per week. It's aired. So easy money for someone.
I've been waiting all day for Saturday night. The cars are gonna go under the lights. You gotta get ready. You gotta get right because the cars go vroom on Saturday night. Anyway, very excited. Can't wait. Next up, Liam Lawson is getting a new race engineer for the 2025 F1 season. Congratulations, Richard Wood, Sergio Perez. Sorry, Richard Wood, Checo Perez. Oh, your shit. His name is Dick Wood.
Why do you think I'm like in a, like doing little? That is. Oh, I don't so care how you pronounce Sergio Perez. Like that's fine. I'm old.
Oh man, his name's Dick Wood. That's so unfortunate. Okay, Richard Wood, Checo Perez's former performance engineer, is going to be the new race engineer for Liam Lawson for Oracle Red Bull Racing. You go, Glenn Coco. Exciting stuff.
Moving on, this last weekend was the 12 Hours of Bathurst. I did not watch it because I was dealing with a lot of personal stuff. But Ash, I would love to hear, you were streaming this, right? You were doing a watch along?
Yeah, I did a watch along. I try to change it up a little bit. So usually I stream from my basement, my computer here. Not my basement, by the way, not my mom's, mine, okay? Before you comment anything on Instagram. And yeah, I just want to try something from my living room and stuff like that. So I thought it'd be more of like a fun, cozy, like, hey, like we're all watching together and like having that kind of mentality. But 12 Hours of Bathurst plus endurance racing. It's a little uncomfortable watching in a computer chair for X number of hours.
Sure. Yeah. Were you just like laid out on the sectional? What are we talking about? What was your setup?
I mean, it was a little bit more comfortable just sitting on the couch, let alone just a computer chair. So just a little bit more chill, pillow, good back, soft. I got memory foam cushions. It was great.
In your living room, what is your race viewing setup? Do you have multiple TVs? Do you have like
I have two TVs side by side, not up and down. Okay. They're side by side. So we can watch a lot of sports in the evening.
You also have a laptop open, phone open? Like what's the experience?
Phone and iPad, depending what I need.
Okay.
For streaming, I had to have all those open just to like monitor stream and do chat. But if I'm just watching, it's just usually, well, if it's a race, I'm usually doing a watch along, which is from my computer, and I have three monitors. So that's always really nice. But yeah, just two TVs and my phone, really.
Yeah. What was like, so what went down in the 12 Hours of Bathurst? I know nothing about what happened.
Sure. So fun. They start at 5:45 a.m. their time. They start in the dark, which is always a fun way to start a race.
What time is that here?
1:45 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
I mean, long story short, BMW's first win in 15 years was a WRT, BMW M4, GT3F, Kelvin Vanderlyn, Sheldon Vanderlyn, and Augusto Farfus. And Augusto Farfus is the guy who got flicked off in the Daytona 24 by Tommy Milner. So fun fact, I guess that fueled him to win Bathurst. He did an incredible job. The whole team did an incredible job. And yeah, you might hear these names, and they did race in the Daytona 24. So a lot of teams, drivers, teams, don't forget videographers, photographers, staff, commentators flew from Daytona straight to Australia, maybe stopped at home for a day. Depending where they live. But can you imagine staying up for Daytona 24, flying to Australia, racing for 12 hours? God knows what's happening to their time, like internal clock. Like, I do not, like, again, this job sounds cool, right? Like maybe being a photographer or a PR media person for one of the teams. Holy shit, dude.
It sounds exhausting enough just to be a fan traveling to all these races, but to have to perform at a high level, like a driver,
exactly.
Like adjusting to the time difference and trying to deal with jet lag and get on a regular sleep schedule. I do not know how they do it.
Yeah, and still be like fit, have a good reaction time, still race well, hit your brake markers, hit those apexes ideally. So I can't imagine doing that. But I know they're trained. But think about all the people who make racing possible, marshals. Again, all the staff with drivers may or may not sometimes fly first class or business or premium economy. You have all these folks, right, all the regular folk who make this possible in the background flying in a middle seat 16 hours. First, you got to fly 6 hours to Los Angeles from Daytona, and then you got to fly the rest of the way to Australia. It's just I don't know how they do it. So if you were any of those people or know any of those people, thank them so much for me. It was a great race. The 46 car, Valentino Rossi was racing. With those who are familiar with MotoGP, Valentino Rossi, sports car racing in the past couple of years, had a little bit of a slow start, but I mean, it's Valentino Rossi, and to no surprise, he grabbed it on really quick and has been doing an incredible job. I believe the number 46 car got P2 as well. So BMW's dominating. Very few.
And he's going to be... And he's going to be racing again this year in WEC with WRT, right?
Ooh, I don't know about WEC. Usually, I've seen him in GT World Challenge, like Spawn stuff. He might be racing WEC again. He is racing again. Like, he's doing sports car racing. So, yes, double check if that's the WEC thing. There were fewer entries, but I think that's to do with the Daytona kit and caboodle. It's part of the IGTC round. I don't know. I don't think people... It was the weekend right after Daytona. So, it's kind of rough to get a car shipped and all that stuff to Australia. And then some folks are doing Asian Le Mans series, which might be worth it for them to ship the car over and do all that. Some of them might not think that. So,
as of 3 weeks ago, Rossi's returning for a second season with BMW and Team WRT for the World Endurance Championship.
We love WRT. They're fun. They're really nice in the paddock.
Oh, yeah. So, just motorsport noob question here. We all know 24-hour Le Mans and back. We all know that the Rolex 24 Daytona is in IMSA, even though you say IMSA. 12-hour, Bathurst 12-hour. What does that fall under?
SRO.
What the hell is that?
Oh, this is going to be fun. Ugh. All right. SRO it stands for the Stefan Rattel Organization. Stefan Rattel, some people, it's on Google, is the father of GT3 racing. I feel like some people are really angrily typing. I feel it. It just is a whole like discussion point on like the sports car subreddit about GT3 racing and sports car racing. Stefan Rattel, he's the one who essentially worked with the FIA to make GT3 racing a thing. I think he comes from a wealthy background and got a bunch of his rich buddies together, and he really worked with the FIA just to get GT3 racing back. It was always around, but like to make it a competitive thing. And hence now SRO owns GT World Challenge. We used to be Pirelli World Challenge, I believe. But SRO is GT World Challenge America, Europe, Asia, and Australia. So those are all separate series. And there's also IGTC, which is Intercontinental GT Challenge.
Oh my God.
Which is GT World Challenge Europe usually. But SRO also does Bathurst 12 hour, a CrowdStrike 24 hours of Spa. So those big races. And I believe they also do the Nürburgring 24 in some like partnership way with ADAC, but it's a whole thing.
Man, I feel like I'm living in one of those explainer videos that I do. And I'm just the dumb
I need
person.
A flow chart. It's funny because people will be like, oh, I love Spa 24. I'll be like, SRO. And they're like, I don't know what SRO is.
We got to do this. We have to do a video where you're in front of a whiteboard and you're just like drawing out the org chart.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't know or will argue with me. They're like, oh, IMSA is turning like NASCAR. And I was like, well, little did you know that NASCAR owns IMSA. Like, people don't know that the France family just has a monopoly. Sorry, I don't think I could say that with their lawsuit happening with 2311 and another team, Front Row Motorsports. They have a very big grasp on racing here in the United States.
They have a very firm controlling stake.
They have a very firm controlling stake in sports car racing and in stock car racing, not open wheel racing yet. So,
that's Penske's territory.
Roger and Bill France will fight each other. Something that did happen is the Stephen Grove collides with Kenny Hubble and nearly exit the track. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Bathurst. There's like they go up the mountain. It's essentially you're on a mount panorama and just go down. It's very close together. And Grove had to be taken to the hospital. I don't know the extent of the damage to his back, but it was really scary. The car, I almost left the track. It was in the air. You can look up pictures, or I can bring him up right now. It's just so you can see him. Definitely terrifying. It made like Getty Sports images how high his car went. And yeah, it's conversations about making racing safer, which I never shy away from. He was definitely perpendicular to the road for a little bit, almost fell off the racetrack, which would have tumbled him down the mountain. And yeah, at some point, I mean, I don't think catch fences ruin. I mean, sure, they don't look the best, but I don't think it ruins the racing. You're not changing the track in any way. I'd rather just the race car drivers be safe. And it reminds me of the whole conversation in F1, and I can't believe still people have this conversation about the halo. If it's one thing to be like, hey, I don't like the way the halo looks, and like you leave it alone, and I'm like, okay, cool, yeah, no worries, I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. If you go on a tirade about the halo and it's the worst thing that ever happened, it looks terrible, these aren't real cars, it looks like a flip-flop, whatever the whole thing, and you just keep going, that's one of the things that I automatically don't care what you have to say before or after that anymore ever again, because it is for driver safety. And I will never, like, that is the one thing I personally take super, super seriously as opposed, all series do, but like that's not something we're going to debate about or be like, oh, you're so right.
Yeah, it's like, this is not for you.
Yeah.
You're not the one in the car.
Correct. I don't care what you think about the halo. Sure. Okay. The halo looks silly. The halo, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Fine. And then you let it go and we have a different conversation. Some people, there are still like F1 subreddit conversations about the halo. And I'm like, why? Let it go.
Yeah.
It saved so many drivers' lives thus far. It's just.
Mainly those are coming from people who are in their mom's basement.
Yeah. Probably. People, same people.
Not their own basement.
Not their own basement.
Not their own basement.
Their mom's basement.
Their mom's basement.
Big distinguishing factor. But
anything else happened in Bathurst?
Trying to think if there's anything crazy. I mean, diminished capacity. I think we talked about a little bit, but delivered a great race. I like the 12 hours of Bathurst. I mean, I just love sports car racing, so I'm a little biased, but yeah.
Yeah.
Go BMW.
I'm gonna have to catch it next year. NASCAR started this for the year, not an official points race. It was an exhibition race, Clash at Bowman Gray. Ash, did you get a chance to watch it?
Oh, heck yeah, I did. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Some people did not. I think I knew coming in to the weekend, I knew what it was going to be. It's a short track. These Cup cars haven't raced there for a while, for decades, in my understanding, the Cup Series. Yeah, it wasn't going to be easy. You're going to have to shove people out of the way or, like, move people out of the way in the car. I mean, we didn't want to, like, crash or inherently spin anyone, but it ends up happening if you're inexperienced in this kind of racing. They had something called heats, and if you did well in the heats, you qualified for the Clash on Sunday night.
Got it.
And then there was a last chance qualifier as well. Last chance qualifier.
Sounds very similar to Indy.
Yeah, so it was just something fun for fans to go to the track and watch more racing, essentially. They had a lot of heats, and then they had the last chance qualifier, which is fun. But the last chance qualifier took so long because everyone was just spinning out and doing stupid stuff. And, of course, on the short track, you can't just, like, keep going. You have to call the flag, so things like
Sounds like a demolition derby.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of – I mean, I guess Ryan Blaney's car did get damaged at some point, but he they fixed it, Penske doing Penske things. The Penske team being incredible. He did great. But yeah, we went to the race on Sunday. Yeah, Ryan Blaney. I love the way Ryan Blaney drives. If you ever watch NASCAR, Ryan Blaney is one of my favorite people. He's also a big Star Wars nerd, so that's always fun to see on social media. He's also a really funny shit poster when he does post on social media. So I'm a big fan of Ryan Blaney, and I love the way he drives.
So would you say in regards to would you call him the meme king of NASCAR?
I wouldn't go. He doesn't post enough for me to give him that title. But when he
he's not like full blown like David Malukas.
Right, right. He's not a David Malukas type. No. But when he does post or have his moments, they're always super funny, and I'm always like, you should post more on social. You should give me your opinion more often. I just love the way he drives. He just knew exactly what he was doing. He was P21 or 23, I believe, and then he moved up to P2 by the end of the race. So in a short track racing, there's not much room to do that. He navigated beautifully. He didn't spin anyone out. It was great. There was also someone named Chase Elliott who won the most popular driver, I believe, for the seventh time in a row. In 2024, he won the race, and recently, in the past years, I've been seriously watching NASCAR. He hasn't been the most personable, and some people think that's because his father, who was Bill Elliott, who was huge, like everyone expects so much from him that like the spotlight is just like a little too much, and he doesn't like doing media. But recently, he's been to Chicago with another driver, Bubba Wallace, and like promoting NASCAR, which surprised me, even though NASCAR is paying drivers to do that now. It surprised me that that was what was stopping him. Like, I'm surprised that Chase Elliott, needs the money or like could be bribed to do something that he really disliked doing. He gave like a pre-race interview. He gave a post-race interview. He came out of the car smiling, which is rare. He like thanked the fans. He was thanking his team. I was like, did he get a software update? Like, who is this guy?
I would not be surprised if there was like a team behind him being like, if you want to continue to get more opportunities, you need to do X, Y, Z. And he signed off on it. I wouldn't be surprised if there was like professionals being like, we need to improve your image. We need to be more likable. We need to be more marketable. This is how we're going to do it.
I would say, yeah, maybe. Chase Elliott doesn't need that though. He has the Elliott name, much to his detriment or to his like working for him, whichever way you want to look at that. And he's the fan favorite. He's the master for NASCAR merch. Besides NASCAR most popular driver, for NASCAR merch, the most sold merch is Chase Elliott merch. Then it's NASCAR generic merch. And then it's like Kyle Larson. Like, he's above NASCAR generic merch. Like, that's how much merch Chase Elliott pushes.
That's wild. Pushing product.
Pushing product. Yeah. So maybe it is.
That's really why they're there. They're not there to drive cars. They're there to push product. They're salesmen.
I don't know what the lightest product is that Bubba Wallace has in his car, but when Bubba Wallace drives the McDonald's car, I'm like, I can go for some chicken nuggets.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm binning it.
I'm binning it.
Do they say binning it in NASCAR? Or is that a F1 term?
It depends. You can say binning it, yeah. It depends what happens to you. Usually someone gets Chastain into a wall, and then we call it a day. Or Ricky Stenhouse. There's a driver named Ricky Stenhouse, and I call him a lot of people call him Ricky, like Wreckhouse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it depends what happens. But NASCAR was on Fox, and I'm going to be honest, it kind of stunk. And I hope this is an indication of IndyCar. No. They do this weird, they like zoom in on the racetrack. This is a quarter mile track. You do not need to zoom in. You can put one camera. Not that people would be happy with that, but you can put one camera and stop zooming in. I don't need to see Joey Logano's glasses in his helmet through the windshield. Like, why are we doing this? We keep missing crashes or spins or anything because they're so zoomed in. Maybe and I was like, if you didn't do that, we would be fine.
Maybe the person they hired to do the broadcast is like a film graduate of the film school at Tisch. He's like a film major.
NYU.
He just got his he just got his MFA from Tisch in filmmaking, and he's like trying to make art.
He's like, I want to see Joey Logano sweat through his windshield. It's just you're like, we're missing things because we're so zoomed in. You can't even see the full track. You're like seeing the windshield and like the corners are cut off. I'm like, why am I watching this? They also do a weird thing during the race. Before and after, I'm okay with this, but during the race, they show a lot of kids, which makes me feel like I'm going to get reported by my neighbors because like these many kids should not be on my television screen all the time during a 100-lap race. Before, to show the atmosphere, like I understand, like, hey, look at all these families that are here, everyone's here, we're having a good time. After the race, like, look at a Chase Elliott fan is super happy. They usually give the drivers a checkered flag, whatever they want to do with it, but they usually ended up giving to a kid in the stands who's like wearing his merch or whatever. So that's all fine. But like during the race, I don't need to see this child eating popcorn, like watching the race. I would like to watch the race, actually, now that we're talking about it.
So cut to the race.
So, and they did something new this year. They used to have free onboard cameras on the NASCAR website. They changed to Max, which is HBO Max. They had multi-views options. So it's four drivers at once. Or you can just see every single driver on Max.
Every racing series needs to replicate the F1 multi-viewer because it is such an incredible product.
Yeah.
They just have to. It's too good. One thing I wanted to ask you, and I haven't experienced this in NASCAR because I'd be perfectly honest, I've not watched a ton of NASCAR, but when I watch IndyCar, I'm not a huge fan of short tracks.
Oh man. Sad.
Well, what do you like about short tracks?
I just like different. Okay, let's start from the beginning. I just prefer different tracks. If you're going to name yourself an open wheel champion, if you're going to name yourself a stock car champion, I want you to be driving short tracks, super speedways, triovals, rovals, street courses, dirt. Like if you're going to be the best, I want you to be the best at everything or like win a championship having raced all of these, to me personally. Otherwise, like what are we doing here? Which is why I appreciate as much as we can give crap to Formula One, the variety of tracks and of obviously being a global championship. Like, yeah, I can truly say, unlike the World Series in America, because Canada is involved, because we have one other country here, it's truly a global championship, which is really, really nice. Yeah. I want to see all my drivers do it. I like short tracks. It's just a different kind of strategy. And it's a little bit more, it shows different talent wise. Like I mentioned Ryan Blaney, like a lot of people had to like move people out of the way. Chase Elliott had to shove Denny Hamlin off the high line and just like give him a little skirt. But Ryan Blaney was like, I'm navigating through this. I mean, I'm sure he like rubbed bumpers with people or whatever, but he wasn't spinning anyone. He wasn't shoving anyone too hard where like causing them to go into the wall. He's like, I'm just doing my thing because I'm really good at navigating traffic and lapping people.
Hell yeah. Right on. Anything else you want to talk about the Clash?
No, there's no NASCAR this weekend because nothing can defeat the NFL when it comes to the Super Bowl. unfortunately, it is what it is. What's that thing? It's like the Super Bowl is the most watched thing in the United States. And then the second most watched thing is whatever show is after the Super Bowl because people just leave their televisions on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it works. People just leave their televisions on since the party's winding down. The bar just puts it on mute or whatever. It's the whatever TV show is being pushed by CBS or Fox or whatever it's on. Always makes me laugh. But yeah.
Season premiere of House.
Coming back. Daytona 500 is in 2 weeks, but we can talk about that next week a little bit. But 1010, I recommend if you are interested, Daytona 500 would be a good one. It's a classic one that you want to catch for NASCAR season.
Next up, we are so back, baby. We are back. Ford is coming back to the World Endurance Championship Hypercar in 2027. We are once again going to get Ford versus Ferrari. The only frame of reference that most people understand when you tell them about the 24-hour of Le Mans.
That's so funny.
Is, oh yeah, yeah, just like the movie Ford versus Ferrari. Yeah, Josh Lucas, cool, great, great actor.
Yeah, this is the most proud I've been to be an American in the last couple of months. And the only thing, honestly, that I can probably say with confidence is, yes, Ford coming back to WEC World Endurance Championship WEC Hypercar 2027. All I hear is bald eagles. I'm so excited.
I am a real American.
Yeah, I just want to. Yeah, I'm so excited. It's going to be so good. It was such a cool announcement.
Yeah, so Ash, you were at the Ford Performance launch in Charlotte. I'd love to hear about your experience and any sort of like chatter that you heard about Ford's return to WEC and the Hypercar.
It was an all evening thing. I think it started around 5:30, and it went to the wee hours of like 9:30. There's a part of Charlotte which is they had like a little bit of a warehouse vibe, but they closed down the street. It's like a walkable, like shops and everything. There's no cars allowed in there. So they closed it down and they put show cars out there and they put like a screen there. So if you weren't allowed in the building, like you weren't on the list, you can still watch the event. And they do sim racing rigs and they had their show cars out. But they had the car that won the Daytona 24, the number 65 that Dennis Olsen did, like drove across the finish line, which was cool. They had every single Ford driver in a circle for tables so you can get all their autographs, which was sick. So you had all the NASCAR drivers. You had all the sports car racing drivers. You had Dakar. You had their Formula Drift champion, James Dean. You had Frankie Muniz over there, who's going to drive the number 33 NASCAR Craftsman trucks for Roman Brothers Racing this year. So you had everybody in there. It was great. Ryan Blaney was there, right? Joey Logano. Corey LaJoy was there, but I have feelings about him. That's besides the point. So it was cool to see everybody. They also had all the cars, right? They held their Desert Rally cars, Dakar and such. The ones who did Baja 1000, they saw the dirt caked on them, the sand. Cool. It just looks sick, right? The car that won the Daytona 24, they had all the tire rubber marble markings on it. I was like, this is so awesome. This is amazing. Yeah. They also revealed their electric car that's going to run Pikes Peak later this year, which is also really great. So, yeah. And the cool thing is, even if you're a content creator, which they work really well with, which is incredible, you can be 600 followers or millions of followers and everywhere in between. They invited all kinds of influencers, partners, and things like that, which I thought was really nice. And I get to do a live stream at the event on Twitch, which was cool. They're like, yeah, I'll be your Twitch channel. I'm like, oh, that's so nice. That's so cool of you do that, because it's a little bit of a heavier lift than me streaming from my basement. So The cool thing is they put us all on the same media list, and it was very much like embargoed. We are trusting you with this, all caps underlined, because they release other things, which are like, yeah, here's the embargo. But like some people posted them early. For this one specifically, I got separately at 4:00, and it was like embargoed, blah, 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 blah. Do not. We are trusting you. Ford, LMDH, WEC. And I was like, who can I tell immediately without breaking the embargo? I contacted Elizabeth Blacksock because she's also on the media list. So like we weren't breaking embargo because we both knew. And she was like the only person I knew would also be as equally excited as I am. I was like, Elizabeth, check your email. And she's like, oh my God. No, we're so hyped. And Ford, it was a good hyped event. They had a few folks on stage, announced it to the crowd. And for the crowd was like, what? And then the next word out of the presenter's mouth was LMDH, and everyone's like, "Whoa!" everyone was just really fun. Yeah, I think everyone just loves the LMDH. It's cool. If you're talking about engineering and we're talking about Formula One and breaking the rules a little bit, look into like a World Endurance Championship LMDH. I mean, check out the IMSA GTPs. It's a really cool pinnacles of technology going on there, and they're paying their engineers well to do some cool shit. So definitely recommend it, and I'm excited for 2027. But Ford's doing some cool stuff, and I appreciate them like inviting everyone and just having a fun event and announcements. Because I haven't heard anything from Toyota or Cadillac as like this kind of thing. So
it sounded like a really cool event, and I know a lot of I know Michaela was there, aka she loves rooms, formerly she loves F1, a bunch of other creators I know. So it was very cool to see everything going on through the lens of y'all's posts. Did you get a chance to meet Jim Farley, CEO of Ford?
No, they texted me. They're like, he wants to interview you for a podcast. And I was like, I'm about to live stream in 2 minutes. And then after I was done live streaming, I was like, if there's still an opportunity, I'd love to be considered. And then they never responded.
Oh, bummer.
But I know a few people did.
He's very active on social media.
Yeah.
He was at the Rolex 24 and was posting the entire weekend. He commented on the Rolex 24 explainer video I did. I was very, I thought that was very cool.
It was really cool.
He complimented all of my different vintage hats that I was wearing.
That's a guy who knows racing. I just like people who love racing. I don't care how much like you know. Yeah. Like, right, it depends on you talk about it. But if you're just passionate about it, like, I'm a big fan. Like, I appreciate that. So,
yeah. But I cannot wait for Ford versus Ferrari to come back, because I think, because that's the context that so many people know when it comes to endurance racing,
movie wise, and then
24-hour
endurance racing wise,
the marketing opportunities for this matchup in 2027 when Ford comes back. It's just like, I don't know. The sky's the limit. I can't wait.
I believe Sports Car 365, when it was like a Cadillac Ford combination on the podium, they called it the mm-hmm. Detroit Special. And I was like, that's right. That's what I want in Le Mans. I want a Detroit Special.
But in Le Mans, they'll call it Le Special de Toi.
No. I want someone to come up there with a thick, oh God, do we want a New Yorker accent? This would be a dumb question. Is there a Detroit accent?
I have no idea. That's a good question.
I have no idea. But we can do it. Give me a thick American accent. Winning Le Mans 2027. Le Mans. Your Detroit Special. Like, just really go annoy everybody. Get LeBron James to wave the flag again. That pissed people off. That was great.
People need not be so uptight about these things.
I know. It was awesome.
To quote you, motorsport is for everyone.
Amen.
All right. Next up on the outline, I wrote, does Ash want to rip on the Formula E Gen Evo sessions? We're going to talk about this very briefly. Formula E announced that they're going to be doing an initiative called the Gen Evo sessions, where they're going to pair 11 celebrities, each with one of the Formula E teams. Those celebrities will then train on the simulator and in, I guess, the gym or something, and train to like a Formula E driver would train. And then they're going to get the opportunity to drive a Formula E Gen 3 Evo car in an event at the Miami International Autodrome. It's going to be like a revised version of the Miami Grand Prix track and in some sort of event. Some of the celebrities include former Manchester City striker Sergio Aguero, Brooklyn Beckham, YouTuber Cleo.
I like the way YouTuber. You said that. You're like, should I know him?
YouTuber Cleo Abram, who I actually love. I like Cleo Abram's videos.
She's the only person I knew on that list.
I love her. I think she's great. But yeah. Lucius Lavincount, who I think I'm saying his name right. He plays Alfie in Lucien Lavascount. He's a British actor who plays Alfie in Emily in Paris. If you don't watch it, it's my guilty pleasure. I love Emily in Paris. Hashtag justice for Alfie. It. But they're partnering with a lot of celebrities who have a really big reach on social media and in the world. I don't totally understand the appeal of the concept, because I don't know why I should care about a celebrity getting to drive a race car. I want to drive the race car, but I would love to hear your thoughts on this.
I did appreciate the outline. It says, does Ash want to rip into Formula E Gen Evo? Like, this whole show is backed on the fact that I'm going to be ripping into new ones every single week, just going on my New Yorker Larry David rants. Yeah, I guess I understand the concept. These just aren't motorsports. I think there's – I think it's Amelia Hartford is one motorsports person that is racing.
Yeah. Who is in the movie Gran Turismo.
I also know her. I know her and Cleo. I don't know anyone else. And I'm so sorry to all the football/soccer fans, however you want to take that word, that I did not know your striker. I get the concept. They're just not motorsports people. Like Amelia, great start. And then we really dropped off. Like Brooklyn Beckham was like a chef and then a photographer. David Beckham and Victoria Beckham's son, who's just like doing his best on the Nepo baby scale. And it's just like, great. I don't know if, like, what are we, give me more motorsport people. And I mentioned this to you. Oh, go ahead.
No, I agree with you. I think it should be more motorsport. I think I understand the concept. I don't totally agree with all of the people they picked. I think you should have picked people that truly are passionate about motorsport. Like, give me Patrick Dempsey.
Oh, that would have been good.
Motorsport forever. Give me Cole Walliser, the Glambot guy who has 4.7 million followers on Instagram and absolutely loves Formula One.
Mm-hmm.
Like, expose someone like him to this. So like, I like the concept. I don't totally agree with the execution and who they picked. But I think Tony Cowan Brown made a good point about this, just about sort of Formula E's marketing efforts recently. Like, in theory, they work, but they're not engaging with creators who have a connection to motorsport and have a connection to motorsport community. And I know they're trying to convert new people, but like, she talked about this video that Fabrizio Romano made. And Fabrizio Romano, if you aren't familiar with him, is an Italian sports reporter, specializes in football transfers. He has 33 million followers on Instagram. He's essentially like the Woj of like global soccer, right? He's like, he's dropping Woj bombs left and right, but in Italian. I don't know what Italian is for Woj bomb. Is it
no.
La bomba de Woj?
You're doing your best and I appreciate it.
But they had him like do a, they had him do like a collab post with Sergio Aguero and Formula E. And he started off his video as if he was about to announce a transfer window, or a transfer, headline, and then started talking about Sergio Aguero and then started talking about Formula E. And I think a lot of people engage with it just because it's him and they like him, but like, I don't know how many I don't know how many people they're going to be able to convert into watching Formula E because they paid X amount of dollars to have him make a post. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is the ROI I always think about when people invite influencers, and motorsports is really behind on this. Like fashion and makeup has on the influencer thing. Motorsports just invites everyone to see what sticks and like doesn't know how to do the influencer thing. Like, I don't know what the ROI is on paying for certain people or getting certain people here. Like, there's no way these people are doing it for free either. So like, is this really worth Formula E's money? And then we could argue that I've talked about definitely before on different things, and I think you've definitely mentioned it. I'm trying to think of a video of yours where it's like, oh, we're trying to expand marketing reach, right? We're like, oh, like, of course you want different people. You don't want just motorsports people in the motorsports. When I would agree, but I think Formula E needs that right now. They just need motorsports people into Formula E. We need to convince those people first, and then we can build out. Because right now, a lot of motorsports people don't watch Formula E and like don't care about Formula E. And if we can convince motorsport people to do that, then we can go on to everything else. To me personally, I think that's one way of looking at it too. Amelia Harford is a great example of a motorsport car creator, driver, racer who also does other, like who has a huge reach, right? You can find many people like that around the globe. To race in your thing that are motorsport centric, but also have a large reach on other platforms and other people and not just motorsport fans. It'll be primarily motorsport, but I think they also have a big reach. So we're really, I think, just like throwing spaghetti on the wall and hoping people still want to eat that spaghetti after it's been on the wall for a long time.
You want this wall spaghetti?
It's made from renewable energy. I talked about this with James 2 years ago. They did this in France with YouTubers and streamers. They raced at Le Mans, F4 cars or like cars and things like that. And it was a whole thing. They had like 250,000 people watching the live stream of the race. But it was like a whole thing because they are YouTubers and streamers. They are used to doing like documenting their life, doing videos, short form, long form. And they essentially, all of them had huge audiences in France and documented their getting training. I think a few of them had their followers design the helmet for them and like maybe a sticker to put on the car, things like that. It was like very community driven. And it was like you immediately get buy-in from your community. You're like, I know this person. I want to see them train. See them practice, live streaming on their YouTube channel, which you're going to do anyway because they're live streamers and YouTubers, and just like keep going. And it was great. They had so many people watching. They had people there. It's just not an American thing to go to a racetrack on a weekend and just see what's happening too. So it'd be interesting to see what's going to happen in Miami.
Well, hopefully that they are sort of using the level of detail that you described in this other series, and that gets people to buy into it. And I've said this before. The thing with Formula E is like, you know, you look at Formula One, marketing is amazing. The packaging is amazing. It's very sexy. Very often the product is not super exciting. Last year, I think, was an exception, but you look at the year before where Red Bull won 22 out of the 23 races or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's not a very competitive product. You look at IndyCar, product on track is incredible. The marketing and the packaging could use some work. Formula E, I think, has a decent product. Like, I think the racing is pretty exciting. I think the for the most part, the marketing and packaging is good. They just don't have fans. And a lot of that has to do with it's like a new series. It's only 11 years old. I think they're doing themselves a disservice in regards to scheduling. And I know there's like logistical stuff that I probably don't totally understand, but like you have this off season where people are hungry for motorsport. Like, why not try to put as many of your races as possible in that lull where there is no F1, where there's no IndyCar, where there's no NASCAR, and give people what they want. And also, you can't put your series behind a paywall if you don't have fans yet.
Yeah.
So you got to make it free and available to people to watch to get them hooked and buy in on the series and the product. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how Brooklyn Beckham does.
We'll see how the spaghetti sticks to the wall and if I want to eat it afterwards.
It's a spaghetti. Cool. Anything else you want to talk about, Ash?
No, I think I've yapped everyone's ears off about motorsport.
Yappity yep. Yappity yep.
If anyone wants to talk about motorsport, just let me know. I just like talking about it. Whether I'm right or wrong, I just like having discussions about it. I think it's cool as F.
Heck yeah. Well, y'all, if you're still with us, thank you so much for tuning in this week on the WTF1 podcast. I am James Coker here with Ash Vandelay. Make sure to follow Ash on social media at Ash Vandelay. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at This James Coker, on YouTube at the Temple of Room. And we'll see you later this week. Bye.
Bye.